Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
It's the new year.
And we're trying to get back into our swing of recording about what do you think we do? We average, Steph. If we're doing what we want to do, we record every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's what we want to do.
About every 2 weeks,
and then hopefully we record a few each time, and that keeps us on a 2 week track. So, this is our first real recording session of the new year, right?
Yes.
Everything else was done before, so we're trying to get back in the swing of things, and maybe you are too. I don't know, but we're trying to jump back into the series that we were doing that we started right before all the holiday times hit, right? And then we've been hit or miss on these episodes because we did a Christmas one, we did a New Year's episode, we did a Thanksgiving episode or something mixed in there. And so we're trying to get back to it because I really like the series. It's short little snippet. Steph, what's the name of it? What's the name of the series?
Lies Satan Tells You About Scripture.
Yep, and we are in
Number four, and this is episode 232.
Yeah, so we've done three prior to now on Lies That Satan Tells You About Scripture. And all this is short little episodes. These will be the shortest episodes we have done. Even though they're not going as short as I thought they would, but these are the shortest episodes we've done, and where we're just kind of breaking down these very specific, very, very easy, I think, to see, but hard to break lies of the enemy that he tells because he wants to keep us out of the Bible. And there's a lot of them. Like, when you start thinking about this, there's a lot of lies that the enemy says to keep you out of the Scripture, because he does not want you and I to be reading the Scripture all the time. He does not want you engulfed in the truth. So that you can then have armor to fight against his lies. He wants you to stay out of the Bible. He wants you to know God less, not know God more. And being in the Word helps you and I understand the character and the nature of who God is. And the Scripture helps us in so many ways, right? And he really wants you to stay out of it. And think about it. If I was the devil, I would do everything in my power to keep you out of the Word. Right, because I don't want you to know those things. I don't want you to know the truth. I don't want you to know the freedom. I don't want you to know how much God is a provider and a protector and a redeemer. You know, I want to keep you out of all those things. And so there was this verse in 2 Corinthians where it talks about Paul says, you know how he works. You can get it. So, which means that we have the power to identify these lies that the enemy has to keep us out of Scripture, and we can debunk them. We can identify the fact that he's lying and know how he works in those things. And so that's kind of what we're doing. We're just identifying them. So the first one was, you already know it. Like, you don't need to read it because you already know the Bible. And that's not true. Not true at all. The second one was, no one can understand it, which is a lie he tells to people all the time. I can't tell you how many people will talk to me and say, you know, I want to read the Bible. I don't understand what I'm reading, right? It's an easy thing for the enemy to get you to then decide that you're not, you know, you're not smart enough, you're not capable, or whatever. And then the third one we did, the last one we did, was it's boring, which I think is laughable. We actually laughed on that one.
Yeah, that was fun.
That and it's true. Like, you lots of times the enemy's like, oh, so boring. Like, the Bible is lots of things, but it is not boring whatsoever. And so that's just a lie. And so today we're going to tackle another one real fast, number four. And Steph, you give them the lie.
It's better left to the professionals.
Now, as a pastor, I get this sentiment a lot from people, right? Like, what they would prefer to do, and I think it roots into the fact that the enemy has sold this to them. What they'd prefer to do is somebody else read it, study it, pull out the context and the meat of it, and then them sit in front of a screen or sit in front of a stage or sit in front of an altar and have someone explain it to them so that they can understand it and digest it without having to do all the work, because the enemy has sort of told us, you know, you got to leave this up to the professional people. Here's what's interesting about this particular lie, and I think this is really cool. And we're going to go through this hopefully pretty fast. This lie started in the Middle Ages. So you got to go all the way back to about four, and the Middle Ages was a long time period. So from about 400 AD to about 1500 or so is the Middle Age Middle Age time period. Medieval is the same word. So medieval, Middle Age time period.
Wow.
All through there, right? And so the Catholic Church, which, by the way, at the time was the only church. So let's don't jump into, oh, I don't like the Catholic Church, right? Back then it was the church, right? The Protestant Reformation had not happened yet, okay? So the Catholic Church commissioned that the scriptures be written in Latin and Latin only, which was not the predominant language of the people. And it was not a predominantly spoken language. It was a written language. And so that they wanted it to be in Latin and Latin only. And the reason they did that was that the church could then give the scriptures whatever slant they wanted to choose to give them, right? So now all of a sudden, the only people that have access to understanding the Bible and actually reading it at all are highly educated professional people, typically within the church. And so that meant that it was very open to corruption, right? So then the church and church leaders, not all of them, but certain ones, could then go, this is what the scripture says, and the people would have no idea that that's what it says that or not. And then they could say, well, this is what it means. They have no idea if that's what it means. And then they would use it in lots of ways to extort money from people, to hold the Bible away from them and the Word of God away from them, so that the only people that really knew what God said were the people in charge, but the people below them that weren't in charge had no way of verifying that. I mean, that's sort of basic. I'm giving it in a nutshell, but that's basically what was happening, right? It was abuse and keeping the scripture away from people. That's just where this lie started. And so what was sort of common among the folks was, well, the professionals, right? The priests, they're the ones who can read and understand the scriptures, and we can't. So we just have to leave that up to them. That's where this lie comes in from the enemy. And so they would keep this stuff from the people so that the people would then rely on the church, right, for all their understanding about God, but then also the enforceability of it. So there would— The church would then make up certain laws and rules that didn't really exist in the Bible, like, for example, money that you'd have to pay to the church for certain things, and all that stuff didn't exist. And so then you get the Reformation happening, right? The Reformation happens at the end, towards the end of that time period. So you got like 1,000 years of the Bible being basically in Latin and Latin only, and left up to the professionals, to go back to the lie of the enemy. And then the Reformation hits, and at the same time, right around the same time, there's the inventing of the printing press. So now you have the ability to print the Bible quickly, cheaply, and across the spectrum of people, right, across languages. And so when the Reformation happens, Martin Luther, of course, is the father of the Reformation, which the whole point of the Reformation is around the same idea, is that, no, God is for everybody. Martin Luther coins the term the priesthood of all believers. In other words, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a priest too, right? You should have access to the Word. You can understand the Word. You can apply the Word. You can lead other people to Christ and all those things. So Martin Luther, he ends up translating it to German. At the same time, William Tyndale ends up translating it and printing it in English for the first time, right, in England. And so a lot of people have literally died through this process. If you go back and read, there are all kinds of ways in which the church, along with the military of the time, ends up trying to take these people out that begin translating the Bible into language for regular people, right? So if you don't believe what I just said about the corruption in the church during that time, think about this then. Why would they begin killing people who are printing the Bible in people's language if they weren't trying to keep it for themselves or hide what they've been doing, right? Hide the corruption that they had. So you got to think through that. If you buy this lie of, well, I'm just going to let my pastor, because professionals for us, for most people in American Christianity, when we think the professionals of the Bible, we're thinking pastors. But we can also be thinking pastors, we can be thinking professors, evangelists, those people who are professionally trained in the scriptures, right? Their education is rooted, in the scriptures. People have literally died forever. Tons of people. There's people still dying that do this now that are trying to translate the Bible into languages for people in other countries that don't have access to the Bible. And people died that you and I could have the scripture in our language and we could have access to it directly, that we didn't have to have some sort of go through a pastor to understand what we're reading, go through a professional, understand what we're reading. So we cannot take lightly the privilege we have to own a copy of the very Word of God in our own language, right? There's been people that have fought for that. And now the Bible is widely accessible in more languages than it's ever been. And there's still a lot of languages that it's not in. Small groups of people, certain dialects of languages, unreached people groups, things like that. But we have such a privilege and opportunity. It reminds me of civil rights movements and women's suffrage, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people fought and died for women to be able to vote and have the same access to these things as others. And so why would you then allow somebody to come in and tell you a lie that you shouldn't do that? You shouldn't vote, right? That's crazy. It's the same thing with this. Don't allow the enemy to come in when we have successfully defeated this lie that permeated, to come in and then keep you away from reading the scripture, that the only people that can understand it are your pastors or professionals or whatever word you want to use. I hate the word professional when it's tied to scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? When it's tied to the people that understand scripture. Like, don't call me a professional, right? What does that mean anyway? What level of education would you have to attain to determine that you were the professional person reading the word and understanding it and handing it out to the common people? Right. What language, what level of education would you have to get to? You know what I mean? Because there's,
yeah, it feels weird.
It's strange, right? It doesn't make any sense. Here's another part of this. It's a completely unbiblical thing to believe the lie of the enemy that it's got to be the professionals. Okay. So outside of Paul, all the apostles were uneducated, ordinary men. They were called, the common term that people called them in the scriptures and through that biblical time period was this term idiotes. It's this Greek word idiotes. It's where we get our word idiot from. That's what they were called. And so what they were constantly amazed by, you see this in the book of Acts, constantly amazed that these idiotes, that these idiots, that these regular, uneducated, ordinary people had such command of the word, right? So even our forefathers in faith, right, and foremothers in faith were not professionals in this, and yet they had great insight and knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. And then they end up writing all of the New Testament that we read, right? That is scripture. So this is a complete lie of the enemy that has been around for a long time. This idea that it's just better to leave the Bible reading and understanding to the professionals. And in our culture now, you still see this. You see this when we decide that, or all we end up doing to read the Bible is watching somebody's sermon or video, right? Or we won't read the Bible without some sort of companion Bible study to go with it because we want to make sure that we understand it. So we're going to rely on a professional, right, to make sure we're going in the right way. And I don't have any problem with using extra study tools. I use them all the time. I use commentaries and books. I mean, I'm constantly using those things. But don't buy into this lie that you as a regular, ordinary, when it comes to the scripture, let's just use this word, uneducated person, right, not professionally educated in it, can't understand it, and you might as well leave it to those. And the only way that you're going to get it is to sit under the teaching of some pastor or evangelist or whatever, for them to be able to impart the wisdom that they get from the scripture to you. It's just totally a lie of the enemy that's just trying to keep you out of the Bible yourself, right? Keep you out of the Bible yourself. One of the things I say regularly when I preach is don't let the only Bible you read be the one that I'm reading to you on Sunday mornings, right? That's
right.
Ridiculous. That's also how people are manipulated and abused, right? People mm-hmm. get manipulated and abused by listening to somebody tell them what the scripture says and not verifying that for themselves, right? You don't want to do that. Like, that's how people end up – how do you think people end up going into cults and believing that these people believe what they say about the scripture? They don't know the scripture themselves. You know, so don't let the only thing that you are reading be what your pastor's reading to you or the person you're watching online, right? That stuff cannot replace – personal individual Bible study. It can complement it, but it can't replace it. Does that make sense, Steph?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's an easy struggle.
It does make sense.
It's an easy struggle in today's time because it's much easier to watch some sort of tailored presentation of the scripture where somebody's laying. I mean, I do it every week. I know. It's easier to watch that than it is to read the Bible yourself and discern it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can. And the enemy is just telling you this lie to keep you out of it. And if he can keep If he can make you rely on all the scripture knowledge you have coming from somebody else, then what he can do is he can manipulate and invade that person's life, right? I mean, how many pastors do you know have fallen off track but with the enemy, right? One just came out this week, right? Philip Yancey is one of the most, he's one of the greatest Christian writers of all time. He is in his 70s, and it just came out this last week that he has been having an 8-year affair with a married woman, and he's married, right? An 8-year affair. And he's the one that wrote all these amazing books about grace and things like that, right, that people have soaked up. And I've read them. I mean, they're great. I haven't read all of his books, but I've read a lot. He's probably like 30. But if the enemy then can get us to just pay attention to certain biblical teachers and give them the only authority to read it, then all he's got to do is tear that person's life down.
Yeah.
And now he can knock out hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people from following God and listening to his word and being in his word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
It happens very easily like that. Part of that responsibility is on us, right? It's on us. Don't give. Oh, this is so hard to say as a pastor. You should follow the shepherd that God has placed in your life, but you don't follow them blindly.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
You don't blindly follow them. You've got to know the word on your own, right? You've got to be able to discern on your own. And then hopefully the way that that person is teaching and understanding the word, it coincides with the way you're understanding the word. So y'all are on the same page, right? But you can't just leave it up to it, because when you do that, you're complicit in this ultimate plan of the enemy. I do believe that the enemy has a plan in this. Let me get people not to do their own reading on their own. Let me get them to get hooked into some celebrity pastor or celebrity writer, right?
Right.
Let me get hooked into them. And then all I got to do is tempt that person, get them to fall, and a bunch of those people that are following them won't just question that pastor that failed, they'll question God, right? And
yeah.
And they'll abandon the truth of the word themselves very easily. One of my favorite books, we talk about it on the podcast a lot, is The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis,
yeah.
Right? And it's a simple, if you haven't read it yet, please do. We've talked about it on the podcast. I think we gave it away in our book giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kirsch, Kalamazoo, Michigan, got it. Anyway, that book is phenomenal. I feel like it is almost divine inspiration. It's like prophetic word. I'm not saying it's scripture, but man, it is divinely inspired by God, because the way C.S. Lewis writes it is he gives you this insight into how the demons of the enemy are communicating and plotting and planning. And this scenario that we're talking about is one of those in the book, right? It's one of those that he's saying that, you know, just get them to not read the word. Just get them to think that you got to have a certain level of education, understanding to read the word, right? Get them to believe that it's boring, like we said before. Get them to believe that you can't personally understand it, but these other people are more, the ordained people can understand it, so just follow them. We're complicit when we follow that. We're right into the hands of the enemy, who ends up taking us out of the equation. And this is just a stupid lie, but it's been around a long time. It permeated the Middle Ages and medieval time. And people were aching for the Bible to read it themselves, right? To be in the Word themselves. And you had so many people fight and die and leave their countries, leave their continents to be able to make this happen. And you still have that now.
Yeah.
We are very isolated in America and isolated is the wrong word, but we are immune from understanding and seeing what's going on in other countries, and specifically certain communist countries and places like that, like large sections of China, where the Bible is being smuggled in at the risk of death, and people are meeting in underground churches, right? And the Bible is in their language, but there's not many copies, so people are memorizing it. All that's still happening now, so mm-hmm. that everybody has access to the Word of God. Fully believe that it is a heresy to say that the Bible was only written for a certain group or type of person. The Bible is God's word for every single person. I fully believe it. So do not believe this lie. Leave it up to the professionals. Leave it up to the pastor. Do not do that, please. Please don't do that. Please don't believe this lie. Going back to that other episode we had, I think it was number 2 of this series, 228, you can understand it. You can. That's a lie of the enemy, and you don't have to rely on somebody else all the time to teach it to you. And so do not leave it up to the professionals. Please don't.
That was good.
Good enough?
Yeah,
enough
educational.
Yeah, it was pretty educational. It was, yeah. But yeah, this is a stupid lie. But they all are stupid.
Yeah.
Right? But this one has worked, right? And it has worked well. And I actually think it's continuing to work now.
Yeah, it
I
is.
I think our culture now is very much in this space of, I'm going to get all my biblical understanding from a sermon or TikTok video or short form video or whatever. I'm going to get everything I know about that. A YouTube video, right? Like, that's where I'm going to get all my knowledge of the Bible from. And it's ridiculous, and it's just playing into the hands of the enemy. And it's rooted in this lie. So that's all I got.
I was waiting for you to say that.
I usually do say that, don't I?
That's all he has, guys.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Well, I really enjoyed this one.
Thank you.
And I think
we didn't
it's
go
super
too long.
Helpful.
It's not long at all.
Not long at all. It's just bite-sized.
I can't see that timer exactly right because it's so small.
But we did yap a little bit at the
but
beginning.
But it's got to be
about 20-ish minutes.
Got to be around 20 minutes, right? Yeah, you're looking at the other number. Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it. Yes, about 20 minutes. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
So quick little snippet, smack the lie of the devil in the mouth, and move on with your day.
And now y'all know you can just open the Bible right after this, or if you're driving, open it later.
Open it later.
You can listen to it even, but yes. Yeah.
And please test what you are hearing. Please test it.
That part, yeah.
Please test it. That helps the entire body, right? It helps the person who's presented it wrong. It helps you. Whatever it is, just test it. Yes, test it. You can do it.
You can.
You can do it. The same Holy Spirit that is in the heart of the people that you consider the professionals that are teaching it is the same Holy Spirit in yours. Now, we all have different giftings of the Spirit.
True.
But none of those giftings have to do with you not being able to understand and read and comprehend the Bible.
Right. Right? You're not disqualified from reading the Word.
No.
Hearing the Word, doing the Word.
Yep. You can be an idiotes yourself.
Yes. For free.
For free.
All right. What's it, y'all? See y'all next time.
Yep. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.